We appreciate the Lord. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful singing. I don't know about you, but I sure do want the King to be welcome this morning and in the Lord's house. And it's a privilege to be here, and it's a joy to be back. I know a couple weeks ago, my younger brother, Joshua, was here, and he's the youngest of us all, and he's probably the best preacher of us all, too. But he's wide open. I appreciate him. It's funny, I was at Timbered Ridge that Sunday he was here, and he's at Timbered Ridge this morning. So we kind of flip-flopped this morning going around, but I sure do appreciate the Lord and the privilege to be here. Of course, appreciate your pastor, Pastor Jason. He's a blessing, and I appreciate his spirit and the kindness of opening up his pulpit. Glad to fill in this morning. It is always an honor to be here, and I tell people all the time to ask when I preach here. I just say you're the nicest people, just feel at home. And I do appreciate the hospitality, and it is always a blessing to be here. I'll be honest with you, I've had a unique burden for this morning, kind of unlike I've never had before in this fashion, but the Lord's really worked on my heart. I was up very late this morning seeking after the Lord's will, and I truly believe He has a word for us this morning. I want you to go with me to Psalm 71. I want you to keep your Bibles open and ready. We're going to go to a few different places this morning for the message, if the Lord being our helper. But we'll begin reading in Psalm 71. It'll be kind of our springboard text, if you will, to get into the message this morning. And thank you, choir, for that singing. And it is always a blessing. And I sure do appreciate the Lord this morning. What a joy and honor it is to be in His house. And I do appreciate that. I'll invite you to stand, if you're physically able, for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 71, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 17. Psalm 71 and verse 17, if you found your place, say amen. It says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee. Pray with me and for me, if you will. Lord, my Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You for what a privilege it is to know You. God, to be saved in the blood of Christ. God, thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God with Your people this morning. Thank You for their faithfulness to being here. And God, help us now, I pray, for these next few moments, Lord, as we read through the Scripture. God, I pray that You would apply it to our lives. God, take my lips of clay and make them as Your very own. God, I understand that I'm inadequate in myself this morning, but I'm not inequipped because I have the Word of God. Lord, help us this morning, I pray. Let me be Your mouthpiece. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank You for standing. You may be seated. I want you to notice again, verse number 17 and 18. It says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. In other words, what He's saying, God, to this point, from my very youth until now, You've shown me some wondrous works, and You've done some great things in my life that I've been able to see. But then He goes on in verse 18 and says, Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to every one that is to come. By way of introduction, I say that this morning we are living in a different day than some years ago. I would say that this morning that is in the text that the gray-headed, that you have more experience and you've been living longer, and even my dad, who will say that how different the day is from the time that he was a young boy in school and what it is now. The world is falling apart. It's falling farther and farther down a slippery slope. And if any of you were to be honest, a lot of you this morning do not recognize the America that you were born and raised in this morning. It's a totally different day than what it was. But can I say this morning that though the day is different, our God has not changed. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what the day brings and no matter what the hard times we face, our God does not change and the Word of God does not change. And He is the God of all of heaven this morning. And I would say that it might be this morning that some of you over the years, you've seen God move in great and mighty ways. You've seen some revivals. You've seen the power of God get in a service. You've seen God save people and God do a miraculous work. And if we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we say, well, we don't believe that God can do that today. But might I say that He's the same God today and that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. The problem is many times is when we forget that He is that power that worketh in us. And without the power of God, nothing of eternal value can be done this morning. But we must have God and His power. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to glean on the past. And I'm thankful for the past. And I'm thankful for the men of God and the people behind us that went before us and they paved the way. And the great men of God that we look to and all that they did for God. And we can look at that. But listen to me this morning. It's often said, what if Billy Graham and what if Billy Sunday and some of these men would have been here today? What would they do? But the truth is God knew the day in which we live. And God put them in the time that they were to be in. And He puts you and I in this day, in 2023, going into 2024, because He knew there would be some people that would rise anyway in the times that we're living in. If we're not careful, if all we do is look at the past and look what was, we'll begin to get stuck in that. Might I say, I would like to believe that the days for Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, the days ahead, are the best days yet to come. That God still has the best in store and all the great things that God has done in the past. And no doubt the revivals that you've seen and God has done here. The best is yet to come this morning. If we'll be willing to receive it. We find that the men of God and the people of yesteryear and all they did that we're grateful for. But I wonder, are we willing to go for God today? And we notice in the text that it says in verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed. This man is someone who is old in age. He's grown older. He's seen many generations pass. He's seen many days pass, if you will. And by the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you this thought on the gap of the gray-headed generation. Understand this morning that there is a gap between the older generation and my generation. I'm almost 19 years old, but, and many of you have been living a whole lot longer than I have. And there is a gap between our generation. And by the help of the Lord and reading through His Word, I want to look at some things and how we can bridge that gap together this morning. Because understand, our God has not changed. I want you to go with me. Number one, we find the investment that was required. Go with me to Numbers chapter number 27. The investment that was required. Because as God manifested His power to you in a day where I know that my dad and my granddad and many will tell me of revivals that they saw and how God did this and God did that. They begin to tell those stories about when God manifested Himself. But I wonder this morning that you've seen that, but do you have a burden for your children? Do you have a burden for your grandchildren that they would see the same power of God that you once saw in your day? That the power of God would manifest itself in their life? Do you want your children and your grandchildren to live for God? And the truth is, if your heart is where it needs to be, that is the desire of your heart, that you personally and your children and your grandchildren children will live for the glory of God. Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. That's all that's going to matter is what we do for our Lord and Savior. So I wonder that as God manifested His power to you, do you have a desire that God will manifest His power in the next generation? I mentioned to you in Numbers chapter number 27. Look with me in verse number 15. Numbers chapter 27. In verse number 15 it says, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him.
and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Talking about the gap between the gray-headed generation and today's generation, how we can bridge that together, understanding that the same God that you saw move in power when you were young and growing up is the same God today, and the same Spirit will manifest itself. But we must be preparing in our hearts a place that is ready for Him. And one of the best pictures of someone investing into a younger man is the man Moses investing into the life of Joshua. Moses understands that he will not get to go into the promised land, but he knows there's a generation coming up that will go into the promised land. And what he does is he invests in that generation. We find the investment that was required because Moses knew what was going on. In verse 20 it said, "And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him." If you have children and grandchildren or people that are growing and they've been saved and they're seeking after the Lord's will, can I say it makes a big difference if you'll do as verse 20 says and put some of the honor that God has shown in your life upon their life. And say, "I remember when God has done this and God has done that." And he's speaking and saying, "Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him." And we find that he put his hands on Joshua and he prayed over Joshua and he invested into that man. Why? Because he knew that though he would not reap the benefits of it and that he would not be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, he knew that somebody needed to be invested into, and he invested into the man that God told him to, and it all became full circle that God would use Joshua in a mighty way and mighty power. Moses giving his life, but he invested in the life of Joshua. I wonder, do you have somebody in your life that you can invest in? Do you have a family member? Do you have a friend, a co-worker, somebody that you can invest in and tell about the Lord? If they're lost, somebody you can invest in the Scripture and tell them Jesus loves them. Listen to me, you need somebody that you can invest in what God has shown you and what God has blessed you with. We find that there's the investment that was required. And we find that as he was to put that honor upon Joshua, he realized that in order for there to be an inheritance, there must be investment. My papa, many of y'all know him, Gerald Green. I love that man. And a lot of my family, they all tell me I'm a lot like him. And we're stubborn. We like to talk. And we enjoy doing stuff outside, messing with animals, all that. There was some time, I guess it was Thanksgiving, me and my oldest brother, Ethan, he pastors in Avery County. We were sitting there talking with my papa. And he began to tell us the story about how he grew up. And my great uncle, he was the only one married at the time, and he had children, and he was being drafted in the Army at that time. And my papa, he wasn't married, he didn't have any children. And so he took his place in the draft, and he went over, and he went to Germany, and he all over the place, across the world. And he began to tell us about the hand of God and how God brought so many things together, and how he brought him and my mom all together there in Germany, and how the Lord brought them over here, and she began to learn English, and all the challenges that they had. As he began to tell these stories, I begin to realize the providential hand of God and His grace and how He shows it to us. But my papa began to tell us about how when he got back home, and that many and his brothers and many at the time, it was common that land would be given to someone because people had land and their parents would give their children land and so forth. But my papa wasn't he didn't have that. He wasn't given any land. He had to find some land, and they were able to purchase some. And he paid for that land, and he didn't have some of the advantages that some of his friends and family around him had. But he began to speak about how he made a prayer to God. He said, "Lord, though many may go into debt for a farm and many go into debt for these things, Lord, I'm going to go in debt to you." And that day he made a choice in his heart that he was going to go in debt to God. As he had two children, my dad and my aunt, as they were raised, and he wanted to know that they were in church. He wanted to serve the Lord with his family, and more importantly than just having a farm, and they had a farm and all that, but more importantly than that was he said, "Lord, I'm not going into debt for myself, but Lord, I'm going in debt to God." And I'd say it paid off. And what he did not realize at the time was that his son would one day be a preacher, and that three of his grandchildren would be preachers. And he's never stood up and preached. He's not called to preach. He's a deacon at the church that he's at, and he serves God and loves God, but he's not gotten all those blessings. But because he invested all those years ago, before he ever even knew he would have grandchildren, before he saw any of that, because he invested in that day, "I am reaping the benefits and an inheritance that my granddad invested into all those years ago." My great-grandfather was a pastor. He was a preacher as well. The investments that he made, he had no idea what it was going to bring and the inheritance that it would be. What I'm saying this morning is I am challenging you to invest into some people. Even if you do not see the whole work of God, you don't see what all is going on. Invest in your children. Invest in your grandchildren. Invest in the people at your church. Invest in the lives of others. There'll be benefits and inheritance, because without investment, there is no inheritance. We find in the Bible that kings, as they would die, and their eldest son typically would take over the kingdom. And it was all given over to them. But had those kings never invested anything into the kingdom themselves, there never would have been an inheritance to have. You have to understand that there may be investments that you never get a return on. Investing in people's lives. If there's one thing I've learned, I've been a pastor son all my life, and I've watched my family, I've watched my parents invest in people that come to the church, and whether it's people that are on drugs or somebody that's in a bad place or someone's in emotional distress, I'll watch them as they'll invest in others, and there's people who go on down the road and they'll leave here and they'll leave there, and it seems like there's no return on the investment. But can I challenge you to just stay in the fight and to stay strong? And I promise you, if you'll keep on investing and you'll keep on going for God and realize that you're not investing for yourself, you're not investing for anybody else, you're investing for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Investing in others. Understand, we see this morning the investment that was required. I ask you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last chapter. Deuteronomy chapter number 34, towards the end of the chapter, we find this investment that was required that Moses is putting in the life of another man, Joshua. Moses was not envious, and we know that Moses sinned and he has smote the rock in disobedience to God, and he could not enter into the promised land. We find that Moses, he's instructing. Deuteronomy chapter number 34 and verse number 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 9. Watch the investment that was required for there to be an inheritance. Watch the investment. Verse number 9. "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and all that mighty hand, and all the great terror which Moses showed, and all the sight of it in the sight of all Israel." Not only do we see the investment that was required, but secondly, we see the inheritance that was received. Look right down in Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 1. says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, verse 4, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." We see that not only was there an investment required, but there was an inheritance that had to be received. Joshua had a choice that although that Moses invested his life into the leading of the children of Israel, and although he made all that investment, Joshua had to make the choice that he was going to inherit the blessings of Moses, the man of God. Can I speak to more my age people this morning for a moment? There's people that will invest in your life, and they'll bring you to church, and they'll take you to the house of God, and they'll put these investments in your life. But at the end of the day, it is up to you what you do with the investments that others put into your life. And how you take the investment will determine what the inheritance is in your life. Think about Hezekiah, that great king, and how he served God. And the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I love studying the life of Hezekiah. But we notice that one generation later, his son Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was an evil man. Manasseh was a very wicked man. He built up a lot of the images and wicked things that his father had torn down and worked all those years for. What are you saying, preacher? All of that investment that Hezekiah put into that nation, all that investment that Hezekiah put into those people. And the very next king to be his son, one generation down, threw it all away. Why? Because he didn't inherit what his father had invested into. Young people, middle-aged people, whatever, this morning, listen to me. If we're not careful, what people have invested in our lives, what God has used people to do to invest in our lives spiritually, we're not careful, we'll get caught up in this world and we'll lose a whole inheritance because we do not want to appreciate the investment. Not only was there investment that was required, the inheritance that was received, we find that what we do with the investment that others put into our lives will determine what inheritance we have. So I ask you, are you investing in people's lives? Are you investing into other people? And if other people have invested into you, what are you doing with that investment? You have a blessing if somebody will just invest in your life, if somebody will go through the scripture with you, if somebody will pray with you and pray for you. There's a lot of people in this world that I could say that are not my friends and that I do not know. And there's friends that I have, but a true friend, I believe, is somebody that I can count on to pray for me. Don't you want somebody that you believe that when you're going through hard times, whether they know it or not, they've got you on a prayer list somewhere. And they're praying for you and they're interceding to the Father for you. Do the same in them, the investment of prayer. So not only this morning do we realize that there's an investment that was required, an investment that's required of us. There's an inheritance that it was received. But thirdly, and I'll be done soon, the inhabitants that were removed is what we find. Go with me to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter number 33. Towards the end of the chapter, we find that here the children of Israel are about to go to the promised land before long. Moses has not died yet. We just read where Moses had died and it was turned over to Joshua and how Moses invested his life into Joshua. But I want to look at one more thing that Moses gave to these people. Look in Numbers chapter 33 and verse number 50. Numbers chapter 33 and verse number 50. Said, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes, your fathers, ye shall inherit. Verse 55, but if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Even though Moses was gray-headed at this point and he would not see the promised land, God did not forsake him. Though Moses' young age and though his young life had forsaken him, his God had not forsaken him. And the same God that when Moses was a baby floating in an ark of bulrushes is the same God today in the end of his life. And God instructs Moses to tell the children of Israel on what to do, not just getting to the promised land, but what to do when they get to the promised land. It's Canaan, and there's enemies in the promised land. The inhabitants that were removed. Understand that the promised land would not be what God promised them until they were to drive out the inhabitants. And here we find Moses investing his time, investing his life, investing his wisdom. And he's telling the children of Israel, it's not enough just to cross the river. It's not enough to just get in the promised land. But you will not enjoy the power and the blessings of God in the promised land until you drive out the inhabitants. Why? They could have probably crossed over and they probably could have lived in the promised land with the Canaanites there. But you imagine the stress and the anxiety of sleeping at night, worrying that the enemy would come in and kill their families and destroy their homes. No, it would not be the inheritance that God promised them until they were to drive out the inhabitants. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you'll never live in the abundance of God until you learn to drive some things out of your life. Some things that are holding you and things that have you. Maybe it's money. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having money in your pocket, but there's something wrong when money has you in its pocket. You fill in the blank. What is it this morning? Maybe there's inhabitants. You may be able to live in the promised land, so to speak, and get where you want to go, but it won't be all the blessings and joy of God until you're willing to drive those inhabitants out. That's what Moses instructs them to do. We see that the inhabitants were removed. I say all of this to point this out. That when the inhabitants were removed, and even though Moses was not able to go into the promised land, and though Moses was now gray-headed, and though his youth had forsaken him, God had not forsaken him. Our text verse that we read a few moments ago. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Understand that the children of Israel never would have inherited this promised land if not for the instruction and investment of a man named Moses. A gray-headed man who had wisdom and all these years under his belt, if you will, and would not see the promise or would not enter into the promised land. What are you saying? I'm saying this, that without investment, there's no inheritance to be had. And without accepting the inheritance, the investment goes to waste. We find this morning that on the gap of the gray-headed generation to now, we see that we are living in a different day. But we see the investment that was required and the investment that is required of us of the next generation. Do you care if your children are going to be in church 10 years from now? I'll be honest with you. As I've traveled this past year, and I've traveled a lot of places, a lot of states and all that, and I've come through churches, and I'm not being mean this morning, but I preach with a burden, but I know in my heart, had I been raised in some of those Bible preaching, and I mean solid Baptist churches, but had I been raised in that, I very well may have not been in church by the time I turned 18. Say, preacher, why do you say that? Because it's dead. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having methods. There's nothing wrong with having our itineraries. But do we have the God of the method? Do we have the God that created all things? Remember how the children of Israel had the Ark of the Covenant and they still got whooped up by the little nation of Ai. Why? Because it wasn't the Ark of the Covenant that they needed. It was the God of the Ark of the Covenant. It's not just about a building with four walls, and I'm thankful for the church and forsake not the assembling of yourselves. But listen to me this morning. It's more than just a building. It's more than just a suit of clothes. But it is the God that gave us these things. It is the God that allows us to come to church that we need this morning. If we have all the avenues, if we have all the buildings, if we have all the events and all that, but we do not have the power of God in our churches and in our homes, it is all for nothing this morning. We need the power of God. I wonder, how do you value your church for yourself, for the people of God, and for your children? I'm not talking about just going through the methods, but seeing the supernatural hand of God move. I've been blessed to see God move in mighty power and save sinners that I thought would never be saved, that I prayed for many years and so on. And I watched God do a work in their lives, and I've seen God do revival things. Revival's not always in just a meeting and some big thing happening, but maybe something going on over here and some blessing going on over there. And the revival begins to flare up in the body of Christ. Listen to me this morning. This thing is wrapping up, and our King is coming soon, and that's why we must have an urgency about us, an urgency for sinners to tell the great news of a Savior that died for our sin. But we need revival this morning. And you're looking at somebody this morning who believes in revival, that He's the same God of yesteryear and those great revivals. I'm not saying that. I don't even pray that God blesses America anymore, because we're so far gone, and the abortions and all the sin that we're involved in. I don't even ask that God blesses us. I just pray God show mercy and grace to us. God have mercy that we would see some revival in our day. We see the investment that was required, the inheritance that was received, and the inhabitants that were removed. Have you done these things in your life? I say all that to say this. I've talked about the investments. I've talked about the inheritances. I've talked about the meaning of all that. But the truth is the greatest investment to ever happen to mankind was some 2,000 years ago, when the Son of God became God in the flesh. And He spent 30 years walking this earth. And He died on a cross on a hill called Calvary. Say, preacher, what did He do? He invested His life. He invested, God invested His Son. And Jesus invested His very blood, His precious and spotless, blemishless blood of the Lamb of God. He invested that for all of mankind, for you and I. What are we going to do with the investment? You're here this morning, you've never been saved. And God gave His Son to die for you. He invested His only begotten Son. And Jesus died on a cross. And the Bible says in the prophecy of Isaiah that when He hung up on that cross, that His salvation was from generation to generation. You know what that means is when Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Not only was he speaking to those that he could see and that was there crucifying, but he said, Father, some 2,000 years later, forgive him for he knows not what he does. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And his salvation is from generation to generation. And God invested his only begotten Son so that we would have an inheritance of eternal life this morning. It's more than just going to heaven, but it is the abundant life of living for God. I have no regrets in accepting Christ into my heart. I have no regrets in serving God. It is the greatest life that one could ever live. And that doesn't mean you have to stand behind a pulpit and preach. That doesn't mean you have to have a position, but you'll do all that you can for the glory of God. And say, Lord, I want to have glory in my life. Lord, I want to honor you with my life. God invested his Son. Jesus invested his blood in his life. What are you going to do with that inheritance? You may be here this morning and you say, and I really didn't plan to go this way with it. This wasn't a salvation message. She said, preacher, I cannot find that abundant Christian life that the Bible speaks about. The Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. Does it say that he came that we might have life more abundantly? Preacher, what do you mean? Could it be that you've never had the abundant life because you've never had life? You will not experience the abundant life of living for God and the blessings of being in the will of God until you first have life. Dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus will give you life this morning. I'm done this morning, but I say all that to say this, that in bridging the gap of the gray-headed generation to this generation, he's the same God today as he was yesterday. He does not change, though the times change and though the day has certainly changed and the depravity and sin in this world has waxed worse and worse. God has not changed. He's not sitting on the edge of his throne. He's not wringing his hands. I'll be honest with you this morning, there's times where I get nervous in a situation that I can't handle. I'll see a situation going on that I can't do anything about. But God is the God of all of heaven. And isn't it something this morning that the God of heaven, as I at nighttime I look into the heavens and see the stars and the skies and realize that my God did all of that. Isn't it something to wrap your mind around to think that the God of all of heaven is the God of my heart? And the same God that created the heavens is the same God that lives inside of my heart. As the pianists are coming this morning, I want to extend an invitation. Listen to me. If you're serious about living for God this morning, I mean more than just surface level, more than just coming to church, more than just bringing your family to church, and that's all great and necessary, but more than just filling in a place, more than just filling in a pew, say, God, I want the best days of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church to be ahead of us. And say, God, I want to do my part in what I can do. Growing up, our only AC system was opening up the windows. We never had an AC unit or nothing like that, but we'd open up the windows and that breeze begin to blow. It's amazing the difference it would make. Your job may not be to come to church and to stand in a pulpit and preach. Your job might not even be to lead the singing. Your job might not be to take it up an offering. But maybe your only job is to open up some windows and prop open some doors so that the Holy Spirit, that's what the wind is a picture of in the Bible, is the Holy Ghost. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Maybe you just say, Lord, I want to come to church and open up some windows. Prop open some doors so that the Holy Spirit can blow through and get on my brothers and sisters in Christ and save sinners that come in. God, I want to see revival in this church. We can have it. Revival can be a daily thing. We can get closer and closer to God. They're playing. We all stand on our feet across the building. I want you to come if you're serious about serving God and say, Lord, I want revival in this church. God, I want revival in my heart personally.